This is part two of a two-part podcast. If you'd like part one, you'll find it at personallifemedia.com.
All right, welcome to Coaching the Life Coach. I'm your host, Robert Harrison, your guide to thrive, thriving in your practice. And today we're here with Scott McFall of HypnosisConnection.com. This is part two of a little mini-series we're doing with Scott on what it really takes to build a thriving practice. And last week we talked a little bit about really allowing yourself to see reality as it is with your business. What's working? What's not working? Where are you getting in your own way? Where are your own patterns of behavior preventing you from really having business success? And this week, we're going to really start to focus on some of the most common traits or indicators of success for a service professional, the traits of a winner.
You know, so I'm generalizing here a little bit when I say that usually they come from a profile where they're motivated away from pain or they're more fear-based. And what you're constantly doing is helping them to use a strategy that's different than the one that they showed up with. Respecting other people in a certain way and recognizing authorities that are greater than oneself is what really drives total success.
Scott, I want to thank you for being here today. Just for those people who may be just jumping in on the show and who don't know much about you, I'll just briefly mention, I know you've built and sold five hypnosis clinics. You own a publishing company. You are a published author. You have trained some of the biggest and brightest in the hypnosis industry. And I was also able to come out to North Dakota and spend 5 days working with you. You coach, how many people are you actually mentoring right now who are either coaches or service professionals, Scott?
Well, there are about 100 and I suppose there are about 160 active hypnosis or weight loss center type businesses and stop smoking businesses. There are another 100 or so clients that are places like plastic surgeons, chiropractors, that I either do the marketing consulting for or do the coaching, you know, for the people who own those businesses. And I've done, you know, computer companies. I've been the keynote speaker for Harley-Davidson Rider's Edge, you know, where my wife Sandy and I were paid to go in and take that course and give neuro-linguistic feedback on the course, and then I was their national keynote speaker for their Rider's Edge trainers. And I mean, I do a lot of things like that.
Yeah, excellent, Scott. And just so that the listeners really know, Scott has really helped a number of really great hypnotists come up through the field and really build their business. I know that I personally talked to one of your mentor clients, Bob Saviola, not too long ago, and I believe he is doing extremely, extremely well, making well over $500,000 a year through the coaching and mentoring that he's gotten from you, Scott. So you're a guy, you've been there, you've done it yourself, you've walked so many people through the process, and I always just love hearing your advice. I'm wondering if you can just kind of tell us today, what are some of the common, you know, traits or the common indicators of success that you see in someone who's really going to be successful in the business, and how can we, for those of us who maybe feel like we don't have them yet or don't have enough of them, how can we start to cultivate them?
Well, one of the first things I'll offer your listeners is this. We have an actual form where we profile people when Sandy and I are taking in new clients. And I will email that form to anyone who requests it for free, okay, if they happen to want it.
Wonderful.
And so we'll give them that information at the end of the call. But basically what it does is it profiles people based on how are they motivated, what is the core subject that they're trying to prove about themselves, what way do they use their perception, do they usually communicate visually or kinesthetically or auditorily, what is their motivation strategy, and so on, and so on. Okay, and what we found is pretty interesting. because usually people who are successful plan visually. They see what they're going to do first instead of trying to talk themselves through it. Most of the time, people who are successful see what they're going to do, take action on it, and feel only after they get the results of the action. They don't try to feel in advance.
Can you say a little bit more about that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because I remember reading about, you know, like in Shakti Gawain, she would always talk about make an image of what you want to have happen and then feel, associate into how good it will feel to actually have achieved that.
Right. Well, you can do that to draw yourself through it. And that's true. And perhaps it's true and more accurate to say that people begin to sample that as they move forward. And you know, her book Creative Visualization was very good. But the thing that I'm saying is that most of the time, if you attempt to feel in advance, you will feel anxiety. And your anxiety
that is definitely true.
Yeah, and so what happens is that her best insight, by the way, just to revisit her, is if you have a feeling that you don't want or an attitude that you don't want or a thought that you don't want, just let it go through your head. Just go ahead and have it and then think what you need to think to get your outcome. And she was really onto something there because it keeps you from debating yourself and ending up trapped. So I agree that she had some really good insight. As far as what we're talking about here, when we're talking about the characteristics of a successful business person, a successful coach, they are never really doing it for the money. They keep track of the money, or maybe they want the success, and maybe they need money, and all that's true. But what drives them is usually a passion about the work itself, usually. Usually, if the money is the reason, it eventually becomes a problem. Greed takes over. So one of the other characteristics is they have a genuine, it tickles them or it excites them or it emboldens them or it impassions them to do the work. For instance, as you are fully aware, I am not a techno geek. I know very little about tech. I know just enough about tech to get me through the things I need to get done.
That's why you have your technical team that helps you.
Right. Or why I trade out the fact that I am good in other areas with people who are in my network who are good at tech. Okay. But what I don't do is spend my time in an area where I feel icky. I'm willing to overcome maturity problems where I'm choosing to feel icky just to get out of stuff. I can be honest with myself and admit, oh, I'm choosing to have a negative attitude here because I'm trying to get out of stuff that I need to learn.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, Scott, because, you know, for people when they're seeing a picture from an NLP point of view and they're feeling anxiety, you know, not everyone does that. You know, when I first dreamed of my business, and I know some of my other friends, I know you were probably this way, we got very excited about it, but not everyone's like that. So I see how it's important to check that, but, you know, isn't that how they're actually looking at the picture? So is the problem really that they're feeling it? Trying to feel it first, there's the problem that when they feel anxious, they'll bind up and they'll stop themselves.
Right. Well, let's look at what you really did for a minute. Let's elicit your actual strategy, because this is what your strategy was, I think. You can correct me if I'm wrong. You saw it. You felt excited about getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you felt excited future tense, like, when I get this, I will feel great. Okay, and then you were exhilarated to take action to get closer to feeling great. And
yeah, I was excited about the process as well. But I know
right.
that a lot of my clients who come in here, they're not thinking that at all. They're imagining their goal, and they just emotionally shut down. To them, it's horrifying,
right.
the process
right.
of getting there.
Right, they're overwhelmed. So in
yeah.
your case, though, you see, you're toward pleasure. And often, if you were, like, let's say, getting feedback from a coach, that coach, if they were good, would say, oh, this guy's toward pleasure, and he's motivated by the goal, and he's freedom-based in a big way.
Yeah.
Okay? And so in order to, like, make him as effective as he can be, I want him to be able to see the pitfalls before they happen in a different way. So they're going to expose you to the pitfalls in a different way. That is the vast majority of coaching clients do not come with that profile. So I'm generalizing here a little bit when I say that usually they come from a profile where they're motivated away from pain or they're more fear-based. And what you're constantly doing is helping them to use a strategy that's different than the one that they showed up with. So you can start using their pain and fear strategy a little bit to help them by intensifying the pain of inaction, for instance. But the point is that that their strategy needs to be aligned better with the model of people who are already successful.
Yes.
Okay, so what you're saying is you naturally do this. You naturally look at the outcome. You naturally reverse engineer what you're going to do by going backward from the outcome to where you are now. You're maturely able to admit where you are now, which is, for a person like yourself or myself, always a drag. Okay, and so, you know, it's like, oh, you know, because you want to be there as quick as thought. If you think about your profile, you know that you can get there. And so the real question in your mind is, yeah, okay, how can I get there right this second? And how isn't the only question. It's how can I get there right this second? Because you know that it can happen, and therefore, in other words, it's possible to you, isn't it?
Yes, it already feels possible. I know it's something a lot of people need. So what we need to do right now is take a short break to support our sponsors. We'll be right back. This is Robert Harrison with Coaching the Life Coach, and I am spending some time here today with Scott McFall of HypnosisConnection.com, and we will be right back.
Listen to Money, Mission, and Meaning. Passion at work, purpose at play. A weekly audio program bringing you success in the business of life on PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Hi, we're back. I'm your host, Robert Harrison. This is Coaching the Life Coach, and we're talking with Scott McFall today from HypnosisConnection.com about some of the traits of really a successful business person. And Scott, you were telling us before the break about how important it is for you to kind of profile business owners and really determine how they're motivated and what their values are in order to really kind of help them move forward in their business. But here's where I'd like to kind of take this. I'm really curious if you could say, what are some of the basic building blocks, though, of, you know, the kind of personality? In other words, what are some of the traits that any person could cultivate? For example, resilience. I know that successful business owners have a tremendous amount of resilience, the ability to bounce back from failure, the ability, as you said, to see failure, to address it and to move on versus just kind of feeling defeated and collapsing. So I'm just kind of wondering if you can talk a little bit specifically about what are some of those, like, if you had to break it down to like three or four most common traits that you would really like to see all of your coaching clients start to develop so that they can be successful running a business like you are?
Optimism, determination. But the question is, a better question is, why aren't they? You know,
and that's what, okay.
Yeah, so it's true, absolutely true, Robert, that what you're asking for is what we want. We want a roadmap to the model of a successful business person, and your question is correct. But the weird thing is, it doesn't matter how much you harp on optimism to a person who isn't optimistic. It doesn't matter how much you talk about resilience to a person who isn't resilient. Okay, what the question is why are they defaulted on that they're more comfortable or they feel more familiar? They feel literally more familiar with self-pity than they do feeling success and exhilaration. So when they get in self-pity, they feel ecstatic in a weird way because they're more familiar with that feeling. And so sometimes it comes down to this I learned from weight loss clients. You can help a woman lose weight and she can become thin the way that she wanted, and she's so insecure thin. She's worried about gaining the weight back. She's worried about the attraction pressure from other men besides her husband all of a sudden. She's feeling pressured from everywhere. Okay? Well, what I've learned is that business people are like this. They make a bunch of money, and they have to learn how to deal with, let's say, tax issues that are a hassle. Or let's say they have to grow in the way that they handle their computer. Or let's say they need to take it on the chin about where their beliefs were a little bit wacky. And so what happens is that they're afraid, not of success itself, but of being found incompetent at the next level of their life. And it terrifies people. Okay?
So this is like the secondary gain of staying where they are, or you're talking about some of the objections, internal objections to success.
Right. So if you look at the traits that we were talking about, for instance, resilience, well, what does resilience mean? It means the person believes ultimately that it's worth moving on. That it's possible to succeed, that it's just a minor setback. You know, the common line is, you know, how many times did Edison have to try to put a filament in a light bulb before it actually worked? you know. Well, there's all kinds of stories like that. But to a person who feels like they aren't a member of that club, you can talk about that trait till you're blue in the face. And they think, yeah, that's true for them, but what about me? I'm different. And it's that feeling of difference, that feeling of uniqueness where the problem is, because they won't model others if they resent them. If you're going to get them to model resilience, then you're going to have to get them to respect people who have it. So that's the real trait, is respect. When you get right down to it, you can't teach any other traits without respect.
You don't think it's true that a lot of people will copy, like, you know, they might, not everyone may agree with how someone like, I don't know, Richard Branson does business, mm-hmm. right, for example. I happen to be a fan of his. But they may model certain aspects of what he does. And I know that, you know, I think that they modeled, like, what was it, the 20, you know, most successful business people of all time, or no, the 25 most successful business people of all time, and 20 out of those 25 had gone bankrupt at least once in the process of getting there. But they had tremendous resilience. They had the ability to kind of bounce back from a setback. They had the ability to stay connected with their ultimate goal, and they're able to move forward. So we need to take another quick short break for our sponsors. This is Robert Harrison with Coaching the Life Coach. I am with Scott McFall of HypnosisConnection.com, and we will be right back.
Listen to Evolutionary Sales, integrating 21st century psychology with ethical sales techniques. A daily audio program to make your explosive success not just possible, but predictable on PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Okay, we're back. I'm Robert Harrison. This is Coaching the Life Coach, and we are talking with Scott McFall from HypnosisConnection.com about the traits it really takes to be successful in business. And Scott, before the break, you were mentioning the importance of optimism, determination, and also understanding why one of your coaching clients may or may not have that. But I'm just wondering if you can kind of, to recap that, what other traits besides optimism and determination do you feel are really essential to being successful in business?
Humility.
Wonderful.
Respect. But again, respect is the one, respecting other people in a certain way, and recognizing authorities that are greater than oneself is what really drives total success.
Tell me because more about that.
You have to be able to correct your own perception in order to be totally successful. You need to look at every day as that you're a totally different person every day, where new information changes what you're doing. For instance, if an individual walks up to you and gives you a blanket, and you're on this continent in the early part of our country, you may not want that blanket. Now, it turns out you're cold. You're cold, and you want a blanket, you think, but the blanket is full of smallpox.
Yeah.
So then the medicine man, who has served you so well for so long, comes up with a straw and goes to suck the smallpox, the evil disease out of your body, and shows you the pebble in his mouth after he sucks it out of you, except he just gave himself smallpox, so all the medicine men are dead. So the thing is that a lot of people are wandering around in their own emotional anchors and their old patterns of perception that worked for them when they were a kid or when they were a teenager or when they were a young adult. But what they're not doing is actually staying in tune with how things are changing right now. And so one of the traits that is so profound in the most successful business people is that they don't have a history lesson running in their brain. They do respond to what's really going on right now.
They're seeing reality as it is.
To the best of their ability.
Yes. Excellent. And that's that awareness. And I remember the old triple A of action, as I've talked about before, that first we need to put attention, in this case, into our business, what's working, what's not working. That will develop the awareness that we need to actually be clear on what actions we should then take. So, Scott, before we wrap up, if you could just, you know, if you have like one 3-minute lesson that you know, as we end this kind of little two-part series here, one three-minute lesson that you could really just give to the listeners right now, something that would be just a tool they could use on a daily basis that would provide value to them and their business, help them see reality as it is, help them understand how they're motivated, help them move forward, what would that tool be?
When you get right down to it, the tool is making your career really fun. Making it really fun. Making it attractive to you. To genuinely learn more. To genuinely open up. To feel like you're attracted to it. To believe that you want to be there. To not use your career as an altar on which to martyr yourself because you have to work or suffer or you have to do it or you're being made to do it. But if you really want to be great, it's what George Burns said, love your work, man. Love your work. And it's really that simple because if you really like it, if you really want to be there, if it really is fun, you will find the information because you will be so attracted to learning it that it will become profoundly easy to you. And the real secret is helping other people to feel that way.
Excellent. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you know, I have to say, Scott practices what he preaches. When I was out there working with him in North Dakota, it was just an absolute blast. And you always are so good at that, Scott. You know, and Richard Bandler was one of the first people with NLP. He would constantly fire off frustration, angst, anger, all the stuff that he knows business people already go through, and then he would anchor laughter to it. He would help people learn to have a sense of humor about themselves. If you know anything about Richard Bandler, obviously that was a survival skill for him.
That's right.
But I think it's such an important part of learning, and you've talked about really being a dignified beginner, willing to say, I don't know. So, Scott, just for the listeners, as before we depart today, if you could just tell them how can they get a hold of you, and what do you have going on in the next few months that you know they might be able to take advantage of for their business?
Oh, you bet. The NLP training with you in February out in San Francisco would be great, and so would the if they are running a weight loss, stop smoking, stress management type of business, the hypnosis training that I'm doing, the full business training that I'm doing in Minneapolis in January would be great. My email is scott@hypnosisconnection.com, and Scott with two T's @hypnosisconnection.com. Love to hear from you, and again, Robert, thanks for the opportunity to come play, and great to talk to you today.
Wonderful, Scott. I appreciate it so much, and we will go ahead and put your information there up on the blog on personallifemedia.com. It will also be on practicefix.com. And Scott, again, just, you know, your wisdom, insight, and for those of you who get a chance to meet Scott in person, he is just, he's an amazing person, very caring, very giving, and one of the best NLPers and hypnotists I've ever met in my life. It's been an honor to talk with you. I look forward to bringing you back on in the future. That brings us to the end of the show. Next week, we're going to be moving on and really talking about the specific foundational pieces that I want to see in play for each one of you in your business. They're going to be checkpoints, and I'm a real big believer in keeping things simple, keeping simple models. We're going to start talking about some of those checkpoints next week. I'm going to want you to really have some notes, listen, and I want everyone to remember that we really need your feedback here at CoachingTheLifeCoach.com. Just as Scott was saying, to really be in service of others, we need to know, you know, what it is that you need. Where are you at? Where are you struggling? And the more that you let us know that through the blog, through keeping in contact with me in the show, the better we can start to arrange the material so that you really get what's most useful. For text and transcripts of this show and other shows on Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at www.personallifemedia.com. This is your host, Robert Harrison, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.